This is part two of our conversation or introduction to our conversation on slut shaming. If you missed last week's conversation, this one will stand on its own, I think. As always, thanks very much for listening.
When I think about wet ass pussy, I remember my joke was, I was like, well, is this wet ass pussy? Is it sort of mildly moist pussy? I'm just thinking about this idea that this song exists. And that there was just, you know, it's like, well, how do you know? I mean, every day, are you checking? Is this what we're getting? We're getting wet-ass pussy.
I mean, wouldn't just the ass after the wet mean that it's, like, really wet? I don't think, like, this is not, right. like,
I have no
this isn't
idea.
Just, like, it's, I'm yes. mildly titillated by the car engine. Right. Like, I don't think so.
No,
I think
this is going to be the bomb, you know.
So, down to fuck.
Can I just read some of the lyrics? Just,
please, sure, yeah.
So we know what we're talking about. I do want to say that there is a line here that I thought was really clever. Oof, man, this is a long, oof, okay.
So maybe don't do all of the lyrics, just lot. Like give us an excerpt.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking for the
kids
line.
Listen
that really,
kids listen to this.
I mean, is it as clever as wet ass pussy? I mean, cause that took some thought for sure.
No, there's a line where she says, something, something, something make your pullout game weak. And I thought, oh, that's
wow.
clever.
Why is it weak? Anyway. Because it's so wet?
I guess.
Or because it's small? Or, like, what is the issue? Or is it all of it? You know, I don't know.
She said, okay, yeah, you fucking some wet-ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for this wet-ass pussy. Give me everything you got for this wet-ass pussy. Now,
where did
the top,
you ever get moist, Steven? Like, I definitely feel like that is nowhere on the map.
No, what I was thinking about was if you just heard the name, wet-ass pussy, it's like, well, this is the promise, but, like, you know, I'm a consumer, so what's going on here? Like, wet-ass pussy, you just see it all on the shelves in the supermarket. I'm like, no, this is expired right. pussy. It's not as wet as it used to be. I mean, that's why I think I'm not sure about social progress being indicative of a something that feels like more faddish or more like of the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I give Cardi right. B all the props and Megan Thee Stallion for doing what they're doing. Save your money, you know, because the market is weird. They may not right. be into wet-ass pussy, right. like in, I don't know, 2 minutes.
But the fact that that could even be a trend.
But there was Nasty Girls in the 80s.
It's a separate conversation, but I feel like this is an example of how progressives have a difficult time acknowledging the very thing that they are advocating for, which is progress.
Fair enough.
Like,
Fair enough.
I can't, I'm not saying that slut shaming doesn't exist. Monica Lewinsky, which is what
Precisely.
Prompted the idea, it's absolutely real. I'm not saying women are liberated. I'm not saying that at all.
No, I don't get
what
that.
What I'm saying is that clearly there is a space now for women to enjoy fucking whomever they want. As right. often as they want. And that space may not be in, like, deep Ohio, but it probably is on that girl's, you know, iPod, and I mean, her iPhone, you know, and her earbuds and her ear listening to that. Like, I just, that seems like a great thing to me. I'm glad this song exists. I'm sure it's awful. I mean, just because, you know, but I am glad.
You're not in your 20s. It's not going to be
but
great.
But I am very glad that this song exists. That's a good thing. This is a really positive thing.
And more to that point, there are, it spawned memes that are even related. Well, there were like, I should say not even related. Spawn related means like teens playing the song out loud for their parents to watch their parents respond.
Yes.
You know,
in these outraged ways. Like, oh my God, turn that up. What are you doing? basically, to sort of say, you know, here's where the borders of my generation are. Right.
And here's
how our sensibilities are really different. I do want to say something. To pick up the thread that you had laid down, Stephen, about rape culture, I want to get into that because I want to know what you think rape culture is. Because to be completely transparent, I'm not sure I understand the term It's a little bit opaque to me.
Okay.
But it seems to me that if we, I imagine that if we're, that in talking about rape culture, that slut shaming might be sort of on that continuum. Like it's not rape, but it is like sort of on the way there. Is there's a way that you're denigrating women, right? And making them a little bit less than human, saying, they deserve whatever happens to them, that sort of thing. That seems to me to be like, now, you know, you're on the train and it's chugging towards Nuremberg, you know, kind of thing.
Very good question. I'm going to start off with, I pulled up a definition of rape culture for us to kind of play with and think about. Rape culture is a sociological concept for a setting in which rape is pervasive and normalized due to societal attitudes about gender and sexuality. And behaviors commonly associated with rape culture include victim blaming, slut shaming, sexual objectification, trivializing rape, denial of widespread rape, refusing to acknowledge the harm caused by sexual violence, or some combination of those things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a whole podcast on that because I found that super circular and like essentially you can brook no disagreement. It basically said denial that widespread. I definitely do not. I mean, so I am on the other page of this. I do not think one in four women have been raped. I don't think that that's a thing. I think that as a culture, we've become hysterical about what ugly, difficult male-female sexual encounters look like. Mm-hmm. And that people that are raped or people who rape should be in jail. And in fact, that is a crime and people do get put in jail for it. I'm not saying it's not difficult to prosecute in certain situations, but we should definitely like have a whole podcast on the rape culture thing because
that would be great. I have a lot to say about this.
Okay, good.
And so what your original question, Seth?
Yeah, do you see slut, essentially I'm asking Stephen if you see slut shaming as a part of that?
I do. I think that slut shaming is about power. And I think rape culture, I'm so glad that Travis came in with his opposition to that, not necessarily the idea, but how it's the hysteria around it.
Mm.
I feel like one needs to just look at the cultural products, right? Like I think about Porky's, I think about a lot of the 80s movies. I think a lot about how women are treated in these movies. I was watching, not even 80s movies. I go back to the 70s. I was watching, Thank God It's Friday. Terrible film, but great if you just want to like look back at that time and the clothes and the music and whatnot. The women are treated like shit in that film, but they continue to come on, you know, still like sidle up to men who are treating them like terrible. And then when I move into the 80s, the slasher films are indicative of something, but I'm not sure. And I think that there's always blowback to a particular kind of movement, to the civil rights movement, to the black power and black arts movement, to the women's movement, to the gay and lesbian movement. There is the cultural products speak of a particular kind of, oh my God, everything was normal. And then these people moved in to the neighborhood. And it's like, there's a lot of that. And I think that rape culture in a lot of ways is so pervasive. It's hard for a lot of folks to put their fingers on it. The whole point of, and definitely I want to do a whole podcast on this with you guys, one in four women being raped. And it's like, well, where are the stats? What does that mean? What does rape mean? Rape is non-consensual sex or even the act of trying to do it, right? Is that rape? Was that attempted rape? See.
Yes.
Okay.
So with Brock Turner,
yes.
He was charged with digitally raping a woman. So the woman was passed out. I think she was inebriated or knocked out by drugs. And he put his fingers in her body.
Yes, he should be in jail.
Right. No, yes. Absolutely. But I think the question you're getting at, Stephen, is kissing a woman forcibly, you know, putting a part of himself inside her body, is that rape? Mm-hmm. I mean, touching a woman.
Is it? Intimately, I'm actually, I know we're not, I know that's a topic, but I mean, Stephen, do you consider that rape in that instance?
So there's this idea of non-consensual, and then there are levels of it. And I think that in the hysteria that you might be speaking about is that everything isn't rape, right? If I'm right. And I'm completely on that board, but I'm also very like hyper aware, I think, of the women that I've known, and a great deal of them have either been attempted raped or have been raped. Not everybody, but it's enough to go, there's an alarm here. Like, that's not something I even had to think about as a kid or even as a teenager. No one was trying to force themselves on me. But my sisters, yes. Abuse, yes. Do you know my friends? Yes. And so I want to be clear about how that hysteria has made me look twice at or three times at things and go, well, what is that then if that's not rape? So I don't think that
and maybe
a man sticking his tongue in a woman's mouth without a permission is rape. It's a violation, and it should be criminal because fuck you.
So
don't
you think,
put yourself on
so
someone.
Wait, so, so you think attempting to kiss someone who does not want to be kissed or who you misread in that moment is wanting to be kissed.
Ah, that's an interesting misreading. Go
ahead. Okay, but right. So, but this is what courts of law are built to adjudicate. Yeah. These are professionals, these attorneys, these psychologists, these police. Their whole purpose is to adjudicate this. And so, and in fact, many things are ugly, like messy misunderstandings between two human beings. What we're talking, I'm not saying what you do when we call everything rape or rape culture is we trivialize the violence of rape. You are equating someone being digitally penetrated, raped with their penis, or foreign objects or whatever. I mean, these are incredibly violent, ugly, hateful acts.
Invasive.
And when we say something like Aziz Ansari being aggressive with woman on a date is the same thing as rape, what you do is it's sort of like saying I've experienced racism as a white man because I walked through a black neighborhood and felt uncomfortable. Right. That's not the fucking same thing.
Right.
But the equality – so here it is, right, because I think you mentioned something that I think is really important to think about. I agree with you. I think it could not minimalize, not trivialize either. It brings attention to what we do. You know, that's what I think is important. So not everything is rape culture, but a lot of things can contribute to a culture that condones a particular kind of behavior. So I was thinking about Judge Robert Dewar. So the slut walk was inspired by something, a judge who said Robert Dewar, who convicted Thompson of resident Kenneth Rhodes, who worked in city council, of sexual assault, and sentenced him to 2 years house arrest. He described him as a clumsy Don Juan who had mistaken belief that sex was in the air, a heightened expectation of sex would occur. So there, the judges, the policemen, the security guards, these people who are there to adjudicate these kinds of things, they have a very fucking hard job to do. Very. And I admit that, but there are times when they come out of their mouths and it sounds like they're minimalizing the very thing that you're talking about. So that's the issue I have, because I don't have the institution will take care of this, or the government will take care of this, or the people who are put in charge to do these kinds of things, to mediate these things. I don't have that faith. I don't have that faith at all, because they're people just like me. Just like you.
And more to the point, especially for the people that we're talking about in these professional careers that are convened around law enforcement, particularly patriarchal, particularly, I would say, inflected by white supremacy, particularly inflected by a kind of ingrained culture-wide misogyny. Those professions that are tasked with adjudicating those messy relations between and among us, right, have, I think, historically been really troublesome. Like, I've read too many stories of cops and attorneys treating women who have been sexually assaulted like they're at fault. Like, and I know that this doesn't happen everywhere. I get that.
I think it's getting better, but I wonder where the better is, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because most of our opinions of these things are driven by anecdote.
Right.
And so, you know, we hear these
the worst these stories.
Bad
the,
stories.
Yeah, the yeah, worst ones. The worst
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, right. you know, but to me, when we do that, what it interferes with is real, legitimate, good faith efforts to improve these things. And so do I think, you know, you lumped three institute. I lumped is a little loaded. I'm sorry. I was actually talking about something that Seth.
I conflated. I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Seth conflated the police, lawyers, and the justice system. So, and then, you know, white supremacy and misogyny and, you know, like, so, I mean, these are, this is where I end up parting ways with many progressive critiques because I think that they get in the way of actual progress. The very things that I believe that, you know, I certainly know you guys, of course, but the people that are, you know, in the chattering classes want to see progress in. So, you know, you have to parse all of those things. Does policing have a white supremacy issue? Yeah, they kind of do, right? I mean, I think there, you know, there's enough evidence there to suggest.
Well, kind of that they do. I would take out the kind of.
Yeah. Okay. No, fair enough. So, but we're quibbling over degrees, and there's a lot of consequence to that quibble, and I get that.
Yes.
But I'm saying, but like attorneys are they under the umbra of white supremacy? I don't think that advocates are necessarily laboring under a white supremacist framework. I don't necessarily think that advocates are laboring under a misogynist framework. I think that social progress is slow and halting and difficult. And we are making it and can have to continue to fight for it. Like, I don't think the day is won, we have an equal society. Clearly that is not the case. If I can bring in just a brief analogy that seems far afield but is related.
The
College Board has just decided to get rid of the SAT as a requirement for school. But there is years of data that shows people who do well on the SAT complete college. So they fit. Now, is that because of underlying conditions in the home and supports for educational system? Absolutely. But it is an accurate indicator, or has proven to be an accurate indicator, of potential success. And so the real problem is lack of infrastructure support in poorer neighborhoods. The real problem is, you know, difficulties in the home. The real problem is, you know, I mean, all, you know, a long list of social. So what College Board has decided to do is throw out the scale. So it's like saying obesity goes away because you throw away the scale.
Right.
Like the way to deal with obesity is to get in there and actually do things to help people have better diets and all the rest of that. The way for us to improve this situation in quote unquote rape culture, the way to improve things around this is to actually get in there and change attitudes. And that sounds like what, like this WAP song and Cardi B, that sounds like that. What's that's about? That's changing attitudes. That is one girl. I mean, I know that you seem skeptical of that statement, but that is one girl, two girls, three girls, a 500 girls, 1,000 girls that hear that song and go like, oh, it's okay that I like to fuck. Oh, it's okay that I enjoy sex.
I'm not sure if that's the equation, but I'll give it to you. I'm not sure if that's the equation. Because we just talked about slut shaming can come from any woman. I mean, any man or any person. It can come from... Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I'm really taking to a to your point, I'm really attracted to this idea of progressives not seeing iterative changes, right?
Right.
I'm taking it with me. That's what I got out of
it. So I have a really
difficult. I actually have one for you too after Seth's done, because you actually brought up something that I thought that kind of softened my view of that.
Okay.
Well, I've got a longish story, and it's a troubling one, and it's something
So because I'm going to forget, let me just pause 1 second and just say, your example of 80s movies I thought was really apt, and I think you are at, because when I think about 80s movies, there definitely does seem to be kind of a normalization of quote unquote rape culture, and that wasn't that long ago.
Agreed.
So I think so that definitely
okay. Agree.
I will definitely take that with me as well.
Yeah,
so
please, totally agree. Totally agree with that. Yes, really, really insightful. So I've been struggling over the past half hour in deciding whether I want to share this, but it is public already. It's on Instagram, so okay. I don't feel like I'm violating anybody's trust.
Okay.
The essence of it is, I went to see a show with my friend Robin last weekend. A show in Brooklyn at a gallery called Cat House Proper, and the guy who runs it, David Dixon, had invited us, and the artist who was showing there, Justin Sterling, had invited me. Justin does work around broken windows. The work in the way it's installed at Cat House Proper looks quite beautiful. I took some lovely images of it. I have not put them on Instagram for the following reason. Got home next day, Robin texted me and said, she texted me the following because she had taken a picture of me looking at the work, the broken windows actually installed in the space, which is something Justin, I don't think, had done before. Really, really lovely images, Robin. Were taken by Robin, and she said that she put them up on Instagram but took them down because she was asked to by some people. I don't think she identified the people to me. Mm-hmm. In the image, I'm bending over looking at the work. She texted me to tell me she'd take it down because I was involved. And I think she had shouted me on the image. And she said, well, because of what happened with Rafia. And I said, who's Rafia? And she sent me a link. So this really, well, okay, I don't want to make it about me. I really didn't like reading this. I found it hurtful, but I understand that Rafia felt the need to do this. On Rafia's page, on Instagram, there's a video of her, I think, singing or performing something. And then there's another page is just a still image of her. And I think the second or third page is a scroll of the text messages between her and Justin Sterling. The essence of it is she accuses him of sexual assault. Mm. The scroll read of the text messages, very explicit conversation between her and Justin that apparently happened after the fact. One reads it, and I think, what's the fourth page? An image of her correspondence with David Dixon, talking about basically where David's suggesting creating a situation of mediation for the two to like work out their differences. Mm-hmm. And her basically saying, I'm not interested in working with the guy who sexually assaulted me, kind of thing. If one reads through the text messages, one gathers that they had a couple of sexual encounters. This was the second one. At some point, Rafia makes it clear to Justin that he's hurting her. She says something like "ow," or I don't think she says "stop." This is rhetorical but important, because what I read in what she's given on Instagram is that Justin didn't stop. He went harder and faster, and apparently. This, from what I read, from what I understand, this made her, one, feel physically terrible, and two, feel violated. Like like clearly in that moment of intimacy and trust, he did something to break that trust. But she's calling it sexual assault, and he was very defensive. He became very defensive at some point in the text exchange. and says something about her ego and something about like the condom getting in the way. And she says, basically, you don't know what you're doing with women. You don't understand women's, you don't know what you're doing with women. You don't understand women's bodies. You need to get more experience, back and forth, back and forth. I don't want to hear from you again. And I find this so troubling to bring up, but this is the messy stuff, right? That we need to, I feel we need to like figure out. I think it muddies the waters to accuse him of sexual assault when she's clearly entered into this sexual encounter willingly. At some point, he does something that hurts her, and he doesn't stop hurting her, apparently, when she indicates to him clearly that he's hurting her. I want to say, and this is, and this is, might be really overly simplistic of me, that one, you have the agency at that point to just stop having sex. You have the agency to just get up off the bed, walk, you know, get your walk out. Two, it's I think muddies the waters is the phrase I want to use again. To say sexual assault and to accuse someone of that, publicly. When the truth is, you can say no before the sexual encounter. You say, you can certainly say no during it, but you can't say no after. Like, and I feel that there needs to be maybe more nuanced language used in these situations, because sexual assault is a criminal act. If you accuse someone of that publicly, the consequences for that are serious.
Absolutely.
Again, I don't want to minimize what happened to her. I don't know. She doesn't say in the text exchange whether there were serious physical consequences for her. At some point, Justin says, "Say, well, I'm sorry, I stretched your pussy out," and she says something in response, but she doesn't discuss how her body is or how she her body responded. So. This is one of those situations where, mind you, this is not important given what's happened between these two, but where I enter the picture is I just took pictures of this man's work and I wanted to post them. But now, of course, if I do that, that's seen as a political act. It would be seen as me taking sides, especially since Robin has already gone out of her way to tell me that she posted her pictures and took them down because she was asked to. So I'm not going to, but I wonder how to make sense of this. I just don't really know.
That's powerful.
I mean, it's a fantastic example of sort of the stuff that we're talking about. You know, I mean, I'm not going to weigh in with my opinion about whether you should post it or not. It's, you know, maybe when we're off the podcast or whatever. But but
I don't know.
But I think that is a perfect illustration of something that is bad, but not criminal, right? And when we say things like when we say rape. Like, that's criminal. Like, as a society, we've decided that. I mean, so here's, I mean, let me give a more succinct illustration. We have, rape has been criminal for hundreds of years. Like, rape is illegal. We have expanded the categories under which someone can be successfully prosecuted for rape. As a culture, we have known for a very long time that that is not appropriate, but we so tightly constrained what would be considered raped that it was not often successfully prosecuted. I do not feel that it is as tightly constrained as it used to be. I mean, I think it's obviously not as tightly constrained. Maybe we could have some kind of argument about it being expanded slightly further, but this is an example of that being expanded too far. That's not sexual assault. That is a bad encounter. It sounds like, you know, probably he should be tuning in a little bit more to if her recounting of the event is is accurate. Right. Which we don't know. We weren't there.
Right.
But assuming it's, I mean, so we can say this, let's take them out of the picture. Clearly that encounter, the way she has described it, happens all the time, all over the world, all in this country. And those encounters are bad. The men in assuming that they are the aggressor in that situation should be listening to their partners more closely and not just be interested in their own story of sexual potency.
Right.
But clearly, but is that something that you should, that should be labeled as criminal?
Yeah.
I blame BDSM and no means yes, yes, yes. That's all I have to say about that.
yeah.
I really do.
Unfortunately, Stephen, sometimes no does mean yes.
But see, that's the sticky wicket. I mean, so like you're having sex with someone, they're like, ow, or you're hurting me. And you're like, is this turning you on? Is this not turning you on? Because I can stop. Right.
And no, I agree. Well, so, but though, this is where I would go. I'd slightly tweak that though, Stephen, and say, this is where I like think a song like WAP is like great. Because it opens up a space for a woman to say, like, no, I like to get fucked. Like, no. I mean, this is something that women in particular and even some men are uncomfortable articulating. So any space where a woman can sort of loud, if a woman can loudly say, I want to get fucked, it's much easier for her to say, like, I don't like that.
Yeah, well,
it's tenuous, but I get it. Yeah, and I do think that expanding the vocabulary around sexual pleasure is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but and here's the thing that also struck me about that exchange.
Seth, you want to close this out because we're over on time, but I want you to finish. So, Seth, you want to just kind of take us out?
Yeah, two things. One is I want to be able to talk about. And I think we need to save this for another episode. I want to be able to talk about the degree to which Rafia was able to be explicit publicly. Ultimately, it was public, but she was started off as just a dialogue between her and Justin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the degree to which she was able to be so sort of transparent about what she needs as in that sexual encounter, what she needed and what she continues to need and what her sexual history was, is how I'm impressed by how explicit she was able to be and transparent, but only after this very traumatic event. So I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I also want to talk about, because I think we've kept it really heteronormative so far. I want to talk about, like, in the gay community, like, especially among men, like, what is considered slut behavior? And is it as vocalized as it tends to be in heteronormative circles? Do men call each other sluts? Gay men call each other sluts? And if so, like, are they doing the same sort of kind of, making the same sort of effort at policing other bodies in order to police the boundaries of a community? This is all, I mean, I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm just realizing now how difficult it is for me too, because I went through my own sexual encounter about a year or two ago with a woman where we were having sex and it became very aggressive and she was scratching me and biting me. And at some point I kind of shut down I just didn't have the wherewithal to just sort of say, I think I just kind of checked out. And so for me, there's that was illustrative of like what can happen in a sexual encounter when you check out and you stop being a sort of advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That I think is also worth discussing. And so I just want to say thank you to both of you for giving us the space to do that.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we started out with slut shaming, but then we ended up with rape culture. Yeah. In quotes. And yeah, it was enlightening. There's some questions I have, and I'd love to talk. I have it on my notes from before. Gay men, slut shame, ? I was like, yes. And then I was like, well, I can tell you how. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, great, great, great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome sorcery.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
Barely.